Welcome to the Nations Church Belmont podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Let's open the word together. So I'm going to get into the word of God now. We're going to jump into a passage of scripture in Judges chapter 6. And we're going to drop into a time in 1190 BC, in a time in the nation of Israel. We're going through a really difficult time. And what happened was, the enemy nations that were surrounding Israel, so the Midianites, the Amalekites, these enemy nations were coming in for 7 years, had been stripping the land of all of their wheat, had been stealing all their sheep, their cattle, their donkeys. The Bible says that they were left to starvation. And so the people of Israel were hiding in caves and in mountains because they were so afraid, because every year these raiders would come in and steal everything and basically left them in poverty. And so they were in a difficult time, and the Israelites cried out to the Lord. We're going to pick up in verse 11. After the Israelites cried out to the Lord, it says in verse 11, then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. And Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. Fair enough, he's hiding grain because he's scared. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. I want to speak to a message today titled, You Are the Plan. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are the plan. Turn to your another neighbor and say, you are the plan. You are the plan. I want to show you a photo of my family. This is my husband, Judson, and I got two daughters, so Haven's 5 and Emmy's 1. And me and my husband have been married 11 years. And just like many of you, it's just the worst photo, but it's all I had. It's all I had. And from time to time, Judson and I, as many couples or friends like to do, when we want to chill out, we kick back and we want to watch a movie. And so the conversation's always the same. I don't know if this happens in your household, but it's the same with us for 11 years. What kind of movie do you want to watch tonight? What kind of movie do you want to watch tonight? But it's always the same answer. And for me, I always want to watch a drama. Anyone else, drama lover? There's always only two hands. but for Judson, he's always the same. He wants to watch action. This is the problem I have with action, is that there's too much action. It's so boring. I literally fall asleep. I'm like, how much action does it need to be? And the second problem I have with it is that it's always the same plot line. So you find with action movies that the world is about to explode. You know, something bad's going to happen and it's going to take over the whole world. And then there's one man, and his name's Tom Cruise or whatever the guy's name is, and he leads a team of Avengers, and they come together and they defeat the enemy. it's just the same plotline over and over again. And I hate to admit it, but it is very similar, really, in the world that we live in today, in that the truth is that these action movies are based on real life more than we realize, in that the world is full of sin. The world is full of darkness right now. And sin leads to death, and sin leads to decay, and there is decay. But God sent his son Jesus to be the solution for this problem, in that Jesus came and died on the cross in our place for our sin, and set us free, and offered to us freedom, and offered to us salvation, and offered us to us eternal life. And I can testify of that wholeheartedly in my life, that Jesus has saved me. He is the solution to the problem. And I'm sure many of us can testify to that right now. But Why is it that still today, when I look around at the world, there is still darkness? Do you know right now in the world there is 21 wars happening right now? So you might know of like one going on across the other side of the world, but there's so much evil. There's so many wars happening right now. There's so much sadness. There's loneliness. There's trafficking. There's abuse. There's hurt. There's pain. And sometimes it feels like, God, where are you? What are you actually doing? You know, where have you been? And there's so much evil running rampant. And Gideon had the same question. And he was, we've read this account where the raiders are coming in, pillaging and stealing and reducing Israel to poverty. And an angel of the Lord shows up to Gideon. And his first response is not, wow, there's an angel standing in front of me. The first response he said was, where have you been? You know, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are the miracles our ancestors told us about? He even said, the Lord has abandoned us. Gideon was like, where are you? And you know what? The Lord turned to Gideon and simply responded, well, I'm sending you. I'm sending you. And I want to say to you today, Nations Church Belmont, that sometimes it feels like God doesn't have a plan, but he does have a plan, and you are actually that plan. You're a part of the plan. In 1 Corinthians 12:27, it says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. If the Bible says that you are the body of Christ, it means that you and I are the hands and feet of Jesus. That when you speak, you are speaking Jesus. When you show kindness, when you show generosity, that you actually represent Jesus on this earth. And when you are kind and when you are generous and when you bring his love to this world, you actually represent Jesus to somebody else. And the way that he wants the world to see and experience him is through you, is through me. In Luke 10 verse 2, Jesus says to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. I remember when I was a child, when I first read this passage ever, I literally still remember it when I was a child. I read this scripture and I remember thinking, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Oh, geez, he's going to say, ask the Lord of the harvest to reap the harvest. He's going to ask us to pray that God would come and do his thing. But it said to send out workers into his harvest field. I was shocked. Even as a young girl, I realized, oh, he wants to use me to be part of his plan to bring salvation to this world. And maybe you're sitting here today and you're thinking, well, who am I? Who am I, Clara, for God to want to use someone like me? And you're thinking, you don't even know who I am. You don't know the things that I've done, the struggles that I'm facing right now. You've got no idea how busy I am. Who am I? But Gideon, he had the same questions. You know, at school, when, take you back to high school, when Mr. Campbell, the phys ed teacher, he pulls out two people from the class and they have to pick their teams. You probably don't do this at school anymore because it's not good. Yeah, no, it's not good. But back in my day, you know, you'd pick two people and then they would take turns and they would pick who they wanted on their team. And then that's that sad, that awkward moment at the end, that sad little person who wasn't the best at that sport. They're not really the strongest at sport. They get picked last. And that's the vibe Gideon gives, all right? So Gideon was given off these vibes. He said to the angel, but Lord, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. In other words, Gideon was the weakest of the weakest of the weakest. And then in his family, he was the weakest. And he was like, why have you shown up here? And Gideon was saying, why are you looking at me? Why have you chosen me? On paper, he wasn't looking very good. But God is actually in the business of using ordinary people. He's in the business of using ordinary people like you and I. Think about the 12 disciples that follow Jesus. Can you imagine following Jesus every day for like 3+ years? seeing Jesus preach these phenomenal sermons to thousands of people, seeing him heal people's sicknesses, seeing Jesus literally raise people from the dead back to life. Imagine witnessing this every day. You're living with him, you're walking with him, you're experiencing this. And then one day Jesus turns to them and says, all right, you've seen all these things that I've done. Now I'm sending you. And he sent them out two by two. And he says, you're going to do even greater works than I have done. Can you imagine? These disciples were just fishermen. There was a tax collector. There was a doctor. They were just ordinary people like you and I, journeying with Jesus. And then he goes and sends them out. And it's because God, and like, they were not trained evangelists. Do you know what I mean? They were not trained healing evangelists. They were not prophets and teachers and had been doing this for a long time. They'd just been witnessing. They'd been watching. They'd been learning. And then Jesus just sent them out. And God, the thing is that it doesn't matter how much weakness they had. He still sent them out. It didn't matter how untrained they were. He still sent them out. It's because God still uses you, even through your weaknesses, your flaws, and your insecurities. Can you put your hand up in the room today if you have a weakness? A show of hands. Look around. Everyone look around and just see the show of hands. If you've got your hand up, you're qualified to be used by God. You are qualified to be used by God. And if you didn't have your hand up, you come to Nations College. So I have three siblings that I grew up with, a brother, my big sister who comes to this campus actually, and my little sister Celine. So I've got a picture of Celine. So this is me and Celine eating at Nobu. And she is, some of you might know her. She's an incredible young woman of God. And she leads our junior high ministry at the Myrie campus. And she's just an amazing, amazing young girl. We're 11 years apart, actually. She's 11 years younger. And so when she was about 10 or 11 years of age, actually, you could probably tell that we found out that there were patches of hair falling out of her head. And so eventually, unfortunately, Celine was diagnosed with a condition called alopecia. So eventually her hair completely had to fall out and she had to wear wigs and all sorts of things. And I think what made it extreme, like even more difficult, was that she was about to enter into high school. And so just that emotional kind of trauma and that kind of insecurities and those problems that come with that really just were so hard on her. And as a sister watching that, it just grieved my heart. It was just so sad. And we prayed for her, and we still do pray for that complete healing. And she's seeing some change start to happen right now. But when she was about 16 or so, I invited her to our youth conference. She was going to a different church with my mum at the time and wasn't really into it and kind of thing. So I invited her to our youth conference that we were running, and she recommitted her life back to God at that youth conference and had a radical encounter with God and so many encounters with God from that point onwards. And she started from that point, she started running this. She went to a public high school, Thornley High, and she started running this year 7 lunchtime program. And she would tell people about her faith and she would encourage them and she would run games and then she would invite them to youth group. And so she'd run this lunchtime program every week. And then by the time she got to year 12, she had a team of people running it, and they eventually had so many people coming to youth, a half an hour drive to Myrie on Friday, that we ended up sending a bus. And they would fill the bus and bring kids from the high school to church. Like, God just used Celine so mightily in that season. But, you know, she had to come to a point where she had this physical illness and this physical insecurity that was holding her back like you wouldn't believe, like it would hold many of us back in life. And in high school, of all times in your life, When God's calling you to step up and lead something and tell people about me and bring people to Jesus, but you've got this insecurity. And she had to come to a point and a decision where she had to actually lay that down and go, despite my weaknesses, despite this ginormous insecurity that I'm struggling with, I'm going to pick up the plans that God has for me because I believe that God can still use me despite it. And maybe it's not for you, it's not a physical insecurity, but many of us, what I like to call, had like a Christian insecurity where you're like, yeah, you are the plan. Yeah, you are the plan. And you're thinking on the outside, you're nodding your head, but on the inside, you're like, no, that's not me. You know, that's for the Christians at the front. That's for the people on the stage. That's for the holy Christians. That's for the super Christians. That's for my connect leaders or whatever it is that we think. And that's like when we think that we're not ready yet, when we think that we're not holy enough, that we haven't prayed enough or whatever it might be. It's like this holy insecurity where we believe that somebody else is fit for the task more than me. But I got to remind you that he chooses to send you despite your weaknesses and your flaws and your insecurities. Because you know what? He doesn't define you by your weakness. That's why. That's one of the reasons why. And when the angel of the Lord showed up to Gideon, he didn't say, weak human, the Lord is with you. He didn't show up to Gideon and go, ordinary man, the Lord is with you. No. He showed up and the angel of the Lord declared perfect truth over Gideon. And he said, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. I find that so contradictory when you think about it. When Gideon was literally hiding in a wine press at the time, he was scared. He was fearful. He was hiding and threshing wheat in a wine press. And yet God showed up and said to him, you're a mighty hero. Is that contradictory? What's going on here? I believe that God spoke perfect truth into that situation. Ephesians 2:10, God calls you his masterpiece. He says that every single one of you are his masterpiece. So either you are his masterpiece or he's lying. So which is it? And I think some of us really struggle with that because we think, oh, I'm not a masterpiece. Like, I got issues. Like, I got struggles. Like, I got things going on in my life. My pastor don't know about these things. and we're going, I am not a masterpiece. But God's saying, actually, you are. And I am calling it out today. I am speaking it over you. God is saying, you are his masterpiece. You are my masterpiece. You are created to do good works in Christ Jesus because you are not defined by your weakness. Your weakness doesn't define you. You are actually defined by who God says you are, that you are a son and daughter of God and he wants to use you. You know why else he's not intimidated by your lack? Is because he actually goes with us. Praise God. He goes with us. And so I want to talk to you about how God partners with us. Because you are the plan, I'm the plan, but he actually partners with us. He doesn't send you off and go, you are the plan. Good luck. Go. Have fun. You know, he actually partners with us. And there's two verses that I want to draw your attention to illustrate this point in Judges chapter 6. Verses 14 and 16, and it says in verse 14, the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have. And then in 16, it says, the Lord said to him, I will be with you. I really believe that these two verses paint a really good picture of partnership. One is that you've got to go in the strength that you have. So that's part one of the partnership. And two, God has to go with you, 100%, no doubt about that. You know, in Acts 2 verse 8, I think it was, 1 verse 8, it says, Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus says, you will have power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That is him going with you and you will be my witnesses. That's you going in the strength that you have. So you've got to have this partnership where you go with the strength you have, but where God goes with you. And, you know, God going with you is definitely the most important part of the equation here in this partnership. Am I right? Like, we can't do anything without God. We're not even sent without God. Like, he's the one that sent us in the first place. We need him. And it's like when I buy a heavy piece of furniture and it gets delivered to my house, and it's happened many times before. And I'll get a few guys to come and help me lift that piece of furniture into the house. So they're lifting it, and I'll just come in halfway, and I'll just stand in the middle because I want to help. And I'll just put my hand in the middle and I'll help them carry it to the place. And I'm like, man, this is actually pretty light. Like, this is not as heavy as I thought. And then it gets placed down. And how many of us know, like, they're doing the heavy lifting? I'm not doing any of the heavy lifting there. And that's why it feels lighter. And that's the same thing in this partnership with Jesus, is that God does the heavy lifting. You know, he just wants us to partner with him. He doesn't want us to do all the heavy lifting. He just wants us to go. He just wants to use us. He just wants to send us. We've got to just be a part of it, because it's he. It's Jesus that heals the sick. It's Jesus that delivers us, that sets people free. It's Jesus that saves. It's not me. And so we are not enough, but he is. And so we need him. We need to go with his power. The second part is that we got to go in the strength that we have. So let's talk about going in the strength that we have. There's a story in the Bible where Jesus is preaching to a crowd of 5,000 people. Many of us might know this story. And he's preaching to 5,000 plus, so 5,000 men plus women plus children. And the disciples come to Jesus and they're like, can you send the people home because they're hungry and they probably don't want them to pass out on the way home, whatever. And Jesus, in my paraphrase version, turned to them and said, well, what are you going to do about it? You know, what's the plan here? What's the plan? And so the disciples go, there's a little boy here and he's got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Can you imagine bringing this to Jesus? There's over 5,000 people that need to be fed. And the disciples show up. This poor little boy's lunch. And he's got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. It's almost laughable what they're bringing to Jesus in this situation. Because how is that going to make a difference? The thing is that when we bring what we have to God, he's able to take that. He is able to breathe upon that and he begins to multiply that and grow that. And he's able to see a miracle and produce fruit through that. Think about when Jesus turned water into wine. There was a wedding. Jesus didn't turn nothing into wine. He actually got some people to get some jugs, huge jugs. They had to fill them up with water. It took time. It took effort. And they had to actually contribute towards this miracle. And then Jesus turned the water into wine. And it's like bringing water to Jesus. I don't know why I'm filling these jugs up with water. But when we bring what we have to Jesus, it might seem insignificant to you. And it might seem small to you. And that's my question to you. It's like, what do you have in your hands that you think is so small, that you think is so insignificant? And you're like, man, Clara, I don't have much. This is all I've got. This is all I've got. I've just got a little bit of time here. I've got my voice. I've got my hands. I've got my feet. I can go here. I can do these things. What has God placed? Because we've all got something. We've all got something. You've got financial resource. You've got an ability to pray. You've got gifts. You know, every single person in this room have got different skill sets and gifts that God has placed you with in your life. You've got dreams and desires and different revelations from God. And he's saying to you, take the little that you have. What have you got? And if you bring that thing to Jesus, you go in the strength that you have. Man, you can see God do a miracle through your life. Think about the sphere of influence that you have. So every single one of us live on a different street to the one that I live on. I will never get to meet your neighbors probably. I will probably never end up on you in your street, the neighborhood that you live in. That's your sphere of influence. So when you go to work every day, I will probably never show up at your work like each other. You have a unique place that you work. You, your children go to a school that's different to the children's school from the person maybe sitting next to you. There's so many different spheres of influence that all of us have. There's a place that God has placed you in, a sport club, a gym, a supermarket. And I'm saying that you are the plan for those places. Places that I could never go into, but you go and you think, I'm just a hairdresser. You think, I'm just a FIFO worker. I'm just an engineer. Like, this is just what I do for work. This is how I feed my family, whatever it is. But no, I'm saying that God's got something greater for you in that place, that you are actually the plan. And it's like, you bring that small thing to God. You bring that workplace to God. You bring that little thing that seems so insignificant to you, but is so significant to God. And it's way more important than you realize. It's way more important than you realize, the place where you work, the life that you live. At college last year, I had a guest speaker come in, and it's actually, his name is Dr. Ernie, and he's actually a dentist, and he goes to the Myerie campus. He's one of my friends, and I got him to come and speak at the college because the thing about Dr. Ernie is he's a really good dentist, and he runs his own dental practice. He's got two. But in the last few years, him and his wife have just been, something's changed. You know, they have been going after the presence of God in their workplace. And so for 90 minutes, I kid you not, in Bible college, Ernie just shared with us testimony after testimony, story after story of just miracles, healings, salvations, things that were going on in his dental practice. Like, when's the last time somebody here encountered God at a dental practice? Show of hands. yeah, Romania. You know, like, just phenomenal stories, like, of God moving so powerfully to people who don't even know him. He'd get words of knowledge and they'd be like, how did you know that about me? And then he just begins to pray and prophesy and just incredible things. And it's, most of us would think, oh, that's Ernie, you know, that's him. But like, he's just like the rest of us. He's just the same. He's just a normal dude. You wouldn't even know. You'd walk in here and sit down. You wouldn't even realize the guy is just dripping with Jesus everywhere he goes. But we all have access to that. We all have access to go in the strength that we have, to use what's in front of us. He goes there every day to do his job, but then he actually listens to God and begins to minister out of that space. And that's for all of us. You know, Pastor Jess mentioned that it's Go Week this week. And Go Week is when our Connect groups will do things and run events or go and evangelize or do things that actually share the love of Jesus out in the world, as we prepare for Easter and for our Easter services. And last year we had a Go Week leading up to Christmas, and the Connect group that I was a part of, so I've got two young kids, so our Connect group is, well, the one I was a part of was huge, and it had just honestly so many children in it. And so we have Connect on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. with just, it's like a daycare center, and it's awesome. And we were like, what are we going to do for Go Week? Like, how are we going to do anything for Jesus with these children? And so we put our heads together, we prayed, and we decided, okay, we're going to show up to a park on a Saturday morning so that our kids can have somewhere to play. So that was smart. And then what happened was there was a girl in our Connect group who could face paint. So she was like, we're going to set up a face painting station and just offer free. Because if you don't know, kids just love face painting. I don't know why. And then we had a couple guys making hot dogs. We were giving away free hot dogs. And then during the week, we made these bags, like 50 or so little bags with just lollies in it, Christmas invitations. And all of our kids had to write like Merry Christmas messages, like Jesus loves you in the card, put them inside. And that's what we did. So we rock up to this park, and it was just an awesome, honestly, a great morning, because when people come to get their kids face painted, you have to talk to them for a really long time. So that was a great opportunity. And then, you know, we're giving away free stuff and we're giving the kids free stuff. And we were just walking around, honestly, getting to know people. We were telling people about Jesus. We were inviting them to Christmas services. And we were just going in the strength that we have. Like, we really actually didn't have much. It was really hard to even find that Saturday when we were all free. Like, can you imagine? We were just like, okay. And then we got this 2-hour window. We've all got a little bit of money, so we contributed to the hot dogs and things. You know, my husband can stand there and make hot dogs. It's like what little that we have, we just brought to the table and just allowed God to do whatever we had. And so I want to encourage you to go in the strength that you have. What is the strength that you have? What is it in your hand that is calling you to do? Maybe your connect group to do coming into Go Week. And we always major on the big testimonies, I know, in church, and we celebrate that and we honour that, and it's important to stir our faith when we hear big testimonies. But my encouragement to you today is to actually don't despise the small work that God wants you to do, to be spirit-led in that space. And just to bring a bit of closure to the story that we've read today about Gideon, is that God showed up to Gideon and sent him and raised him up and said, I want you to go and defeat this enemy nation. I want you to go up against the Midianites who have been stripping you guys of all of your food and sending you into poverty. And so Gideon obeyed after some time. He obeyed and he rose up an army of 32,000 men. And on the way there to the battle, God speaks to Gideon and he says, actually, I only want you to bring 300 men. 300. So he had 32,000 men. So Gideon actually obeys and he's like, yep, whatever you want, God. He sends the rest of the men back home and he takes 300 men into battle, and there was a great victory that day. They'd brought about a phenomenal victory. You know, they went with the strength that they had, the little that they had, and God was with them. God did the heavy lifting. God showed up and brought about a phenomenal victory that day. And Gideon, he really just heard the voice of God and then he responded. And, you know, God's not after us following a method. He's after us following his voice. And I wish I could stand here today and give you a 3-point message on how to be the plan and how to go out there and win this city for Jesus and win your workplace for Jesus and share the love of Jesus to your friends and your family or whatever it may be. But the thing is that everyone here is unique, and the people that God has got you reaching are unique. And so that's why we have to be people that hear his voice and just obey that still, small voice. And as we do that over and over again, the voice gets louder, the voice gets clearer, the testimonies get greater, but it's got to start small. And, you know, that's okay. And maybe for you, it's getting up early, going to work. My husband just started this. You know, my husband's boss is Pastor Ken Lee's brother. So me and my husband work for a couple brothers, which is weird. And so they work together in this company, and they've been going to work, you know, once on a Wednesday morning and praying together in the boardroom before people get to work. Just whatever it is that God's speaking to you about, maybe it's praying for your neighbours as you walk your dog each day, sharing a meal with someone who can't repay you, stepping out, telling someone about Jesus. Maybe it's contacting that relative that lives overseas that you know needs Jesus. And God's maybe whispering to you, going, I want you to call them. I want you to speak to them. Maybe it's starting a connect group in your university or launching a ministry or, you know, getting on board with the young adult ministry and seeing God do wonderful things, or leading in the youth. Whatever it is that God's calling you to, do it with diligence. Don't ignore his voice. Obey, respond, because you are the plan. I'll tell you what, the government is not going to solve all the issues right now in Australia, in this world. We can't rely on that. Only Jesus can bring the solution, and God uses us to bring his solution to this world, to bring Jesus to this earth.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Belmont.